This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the drive. Please, you can stop sending me Luke Bryan ass shaking.
Do not stop, folks. Keep sending them buns over to Ross.
Twitter, please stop. Splitty has started this. Please stop sending me
Attaboy,
Luke Bryan
Splitty.
Asshole. It's that.
Good Lord. How does a slip of the tongue like that even happen? Now you're thinking about that part of him?
No, I was saying,
damn.
Damn, them jeans are tight.
I was mixing
in. We dumped it, folks. He said the other word for anus.
I was mixing in those people are being that as they're sending them to me.
I don't know. It sounded like you wanted to look at some picture of Luke Bryan's a-hole.
I don't.
You got pictures of Luke Bryan's old chicken eye over there?
Good.
People that are sending them are a-holes.
Chocolate I don't want to look starfish at up in here.
Man, I said that real loose, didn't I?
Yeah, this, I mean, just ease on
casual out. With it.
This hey, is
guess,
water, folks.
Yes, I better hit that old dump button.
Oh, never heard talk about a man's certain hole so casually.
Oh, that's funny.
Sorry about that. That Sean G sure wasn't dumped on the YouTube and Twitch. Well, that's another another advantage you have over there on YouTube and Twitch. That's not... Well, just stop sending them. All right. See what happens when you send them. Now I'm out here.
Keep sending them.
Someone texted in Cowboy Butch Drive Show Nuts. No, it doesn't. I just. Well,
just Luke Bryan.
Seems like it.
And it was.
I mean, you went beyond the butt.
I did. What is this right here?
I don't know what's going on.
It's a Tim Couch right
Tim
now.
Tim Couch is dead. Yeah.
It's a hell of a time for Deshaun Watson to be on the screen.
It was.
We know, guys.
What
he likes now.
Yep. You got it. We got it. All of it. All of it. They're all there.
Folks. It doesn't stop.
It does. Ocho, you're welcome. Thank goodness for YouTube.
That'll raise the eyebrows.
That would. Hopefully, and Parker and them are in the clubhouse getting interviews after the game.
You happen to look up at the screen and Tim Couch is face down in the dirt and Deshaun Watson standing
over
up right. And Ron's over here talking about chicken eyes.
Good Lord.
Let's just segue out of that.
To a hell of a 3 o'clock hour, boys.
It should be off to a hell of a start. Mel Kiper has his mock draft out. And before I tell you the player he has, and I hate it, I want to get it right off the jump. I hate it. I think he's what I said earlier on accident for making this selection.
Hold on. Todd.
Man, I hope Todd's doing better, man. They just
too.
Took Todd McShay's ass right off TV, man. I think he's doing a podcast somewhere
in the digital world.
Last time I saw him, he looked like he was doing better. But, man, I legitimately hope that is the case. But before I let you know who Mel Kiper had, This is what D'Amico had to say yesterday with the way he looks at and views first-round guys for his football team.
players come in all different types and sizes, man. But I think when you look at a guy, you're taking a guy in that first round, you're looking at guys who you're leaning on being, you know, day one starters for you. And, you know, second round on three, you're looking for guys who can possibly upgrade the roster to eventually become starters. But, you know, you want to see a guy and what he's done in college, how many snaps he's played, how effective has he been with the reps that he's been given.
All right, 2 years ago, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, bam, starters. Even last year, they traded out, but they got Kamari Lassiter, who, yes, I was skeptical of with his speed, but he was a starter and became a starter day one. And this is who Mel Kiper has. Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle, Texas, and was one of the best offensive linemen in the SEC last year. He got injured, missed some time. You could see how that affected Texas at times. But Kelvin Banks is an offensive tackle for Texas. And I hate the pick. And it is not, to me, Clint, just because you drafted a tackle in the second round last year and you would draft a tackle in the first round this year. And not to mention you still got Titus and Laremy Tunsil on the roster. Not just because of that. But for me, Clint, I don't want... If I look at the Texans, I don't want the Texans in the first round to draft an offensive line. Because, one, it would signal to me that they didn't do enough during free agency to get somebody there, so they feel like they got to go bring an offensive lineman in, because you just heard D'Amico, they view those guys as day one starters. And to me, Clint, they have to get, for shows, they have to get guys that we know who they are. We know what they're going to be. And to me, we've seen this. Tackles, not just tackles, offensive linemen, defensive linemen are the toughest ones to adjust from a rookie to the NFL level, because they're going up against grown men. And for me, if they are drafting in the first round an offensive lineman, that means that person's got to be a day one starter, and that is probably what they view as maybe the fix to the new starter, and to me, that would concern me, because they didn't feel that in free agency.
There's only one part of this. Well, there's two parts of this that concern me. One, this is the one position where Nick and D'Amico have not been good in terms of drafting players. The jury's still out on Blake Fisher. He was forced into action last year because a guy that you drafted in the first round a couple of years back, Nick Caserio, was an all-out bust. Another reason that he had to play inside being Titus Howard is because Juice Scruggs just couldn't figure out the communication and couldn't stay healthy. And so I just don't trust these guys to fix the gaping hole that is the offensive line for the Texans right now with a draft pick, right? Now
that was going to be my other part too, Clint. Well, I don't know how anyone can be like.
Well, I don't like the thought of fixing it with draft picks anyway, when it's as bad as it is right now. So then you tack on to the fact they just haven't been good at prospecting and identifying those guys and developing once they get here. They just haven't been good, right? So I don't trust that part of it. The only part, Ron, for me that I could say, you know, this I could get down with.
You're talking about it's a first round selection, somebody that's a lineman.
The only way you make that decision is if Titus Howard or Laremy Tunsil's move. And so then now you're talking about a good chunk of the cap space that allow you to then go in and fix the interior offensive line. And now you've got whoever's left, Tunsil or Titus, plays your left tackle. Blake Fisher and in this case Kelvin Banks could play your right tackle. And you got your tackle situation hopefully figured out. I would be A-OK with it if that ended up being the plan.
If you're saying, hold on, Titus would kick in, or you got rid of one of them?
You got rid of either Titus or Laremy.
And then
frees up a bunch of cap space. Whichever one's left plays left tackle, and then your right tackle is a competition between last year's second round pick Blake Fisher and this year's first round pick Kelvin Banks Jr. That's where I would,
adding a guard.
You're using the money that you cleared some space plus what you already have. You're using that money to fix your problems inside. I've said this a million times. Like I just if I'm Nick Caley. If you came to me and said, hey, man, I'm going to fix the interior offensive line, but in the process, you're not going to have a lockdown tackle at on both sides. You're not going to have a guy that you can leave on an island for 17 games on both sides. You're going to have to – there's going to be games that you're going to have to scheme around, and you're going to have some tight end help and some running back help. I'd say no problem. You shore up my interior offensive line. Give C.J. Stroud somewhere to push up in the pocket to escape the trouble. Give me a tackle that I can help off the edges with tight ends or running backs, or even wide receivers, and I can build an offense around that. I can't build an offense. I don't care how good Laremy Tunsil is. I can't build an offense around the interior offensive line that just caves every time they run a D tackle in twist. I just can't do it.
Yeah, so, to me, if you're say in that scenario, and I guess that's the only way that I would just crush it is if. In free agency, you went and got a Trey Smith or somebody like that, and then you did that. But to me, then it's like, well, hell, have you seen enough? Because if you, I guess maybe you're talking about maybe the future, the thought would be, hey, it's Banks and Blake Fisher eventually are going to be your tackles down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you got to move on from those. I mean,
in the next two or three years. I just, for me, it's like if I drafted Blake Fisher in the second round last year and he started playoff games for me, like I got another pressing need at receiver.
Sure,
that to me where I'm like I gotta go there. Hell, or safety or something there. I just to me and so because someone texted in on the Jim Adler the Texas Hammer text line saying how can you hate offensive line as a pick and it's our most pressing need. It is the most pressing need, and that is why to me I won, just like Clint said. I have this written down right here. I don't trust the Texans to be able to fix this offensive line through the draft next year. I don't. There are going to be a bunch of guys from Tyler Booker, who's a guard in Alabama, the guard and tackle at Missouri, and the North Dakota State kid who's shooting up. There are going to be guys around it. I don't trust for a team that is trying to get to the next level, which is to the AFC championship game and beyond to fix that for a draft pick next year. To me, it's you got to know. You got to get for showing
it. It's trust and money, Ron, right? I mean, you look at these two tackles. They got $35 million plus per year wrapped up in two tackles and a second-round pick in Blake Fisher. And now you're still trying to add to it. It still ain't enough.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the only way it makes sense is if you move Titus or you move Laremy Tunsil. And you bring in Kelvin Banks Jr. And then you got a healthy competition with a first and a second round tackle, and whoever's left from Laremy and Titus that you bumped him over, they protect your backside. If any of them have problems, you can help them. Shore up your interior offensive line with the money that you free up and the cap space that you already have, and let's ride. I think you can. That's business right there.
Two things from the text line. I'd like to see the Texans draft a wide receiver or a defensive tackle in the first round. That to me, I would like better.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I would be that would annoy me more than an offensive lineman is a quarterback or kickers.
Yeah,
like that's all.
I'll be honest with you, Ron. I'm at a point where I'll take in the first round. I'll take anything but an interior offensive lineman, guard, center, guard. You got to go. That's where I got to have for sure. I got to have. Now I would like to see him draft wide receiver or defensive tackle. Otherwise, but for me. I just do not trust them to draft another guard, plug that guy in, and that guy not be a major problem by week four.
Yeah, the concerning thing is, Clint, is we would get to the draft and they hadn't addressed interior thing, and then they'd be forced to add to that. That would be
a
concerning thing. I think we know the answer to this. Someone said, Clint, if it's your choice, which one would you get rid of? As you said, the
Laremy.
Yeah.
I'd clear as much cap space as I can, and I'd hit a reset. I'd hit reset. You hear D'Amico and Nick talk a lot about hitting the reset button on the offense, and resetting the offensive line. When you talk about Cole Popovich, you would legitimately hit the reset button if you remove Laremy Tunsil from the group.
Yeah,
I think the other guys are, to me, and look, I don't know them personally, but I've been around them just watching training camp and kind of how they flow and how they move. It seems to me that everybody else in that room is very. Is impressionable the right word? I think they will follow. I'm not calling them followers. I'm just saying, like, I think they will conform. They'll follow. They'll buy in, if you will. I think they're guys that whatever the leadership is in that room, they're going to lean into. And right now, that's Tytus Howard. I mean, that's Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah. No. If that Kelvin Banks, boy, if they would go tackle first round this year, second round last year, boy, with Tytus and Laremy with that money.
I thought
money
they were crazy going tackle last year with Tytus and Laremy. So and they did it anyway. So I don't have any clue where these guys are going to go with that draft pick.
Yeah, me either. We'll see. Receivers. I see people texting in receivers. That one would make a lot of sense. All right. We heard from Nick Caserio today talking about a lot of things, and it seems like the thing that has been a big talking point in Indy at the Combine is this tush push. And we heard D'Amico address it yesterday, and then Nick Caserio, he addressed it today talking about it. Here is what Nick said in terms of the potential of that being taken out of the league, the tush push.
Yeah, I think everybody probably has an opinion on it. I think what I would say, and D'Amico and I have talked about this, you don't necessarily want to penalize a team that's done something very well. Credit to Coach Stoutland and Coach Sirianni for that's a play that's been effective for them. They got a good quarterback who's got good lower body strength. I mean, not every quarterback can squat 600, 700 pounds. So the techniques that they utilize. So, again, just because you can't stop the play, I mean, is that something that you have to take out of the game? You know, I think you got to be careful about just totally ridding the game of it. I would say, I'm sure the league will talk about player health and safety. Is it put the players at risk? It's a well-executed play by the Eagles, all right, and they've had success doing it. No one's been able to stop it. So, honestly, at some point, the onus is on, like, figure out a way. And if you can, and the way they implement it, they're one of the few teams, or about the only team, that handles it the way that they do. So the sneak play in and of itself, there's a lot of dynamics that are involved. Some quarterbacks want to be in a fray. Some quarterbacks don't. You look at Buffalo, Josh is, 6'5", 250 pounds. So, I mean, he reaches his hand out there. He's got a first down, So every team's got to handle it a little bit differently. So I would just say, like, to penalize a team because they do something well, it's probably something we just, need to think about as a league.
The way he started that off.
As soon as I heard that, I said, what?
I was not being eight. Can I just say that one more time? I'm never going to get that yogurt with Nick. Listen, I've kind of rethought my stance on the tush push. I hear what Nick is saying. It feels like maybe one or two teams. I think Buffalo, you put out the numbers about Buffalo, they've been pretty good at the tush push as well.
Yeah, not quite as good as Jalen and the Eagles, but Josh and the Bills have been pretty damn good.
When they execute it, they've been pretty good too. I said Baltimore has started to do it with Mark Andrews, their tight end. I think it is a fair thing that not enough teams have done it. Can I just throw this out? Can we then defensively change the forward progress thing then? Like, either way, because that's kind of my biggest thing. On this tush push, we just drive through forward progress because they're able to be shoved right through, even if they are held up. That doesn't happen on the other side of the ball. I'm cool. Keep the tush push. Can you change the forward progress rules on defense? The most annoying thing to me, play-wise in football, Clint, when I watch...
Forward progress is the stopping of motion. You talking about the pushing, the actual pushing of the player?
Well, yeah, when the motion stops. There are times this happens to both of them. The motion stops, and then they're
the whole
pushed
pile
on
moves.
Thing.
Yeah.
But, all right, you want to keep the play to me. The thing that drives me nuts every week is... Multiple times a game, we see offensive players whose forward progress is stopped and offensive linemen run up and shove them 10 more yards up the field.
Right.
Or they'll just keep letting them shove them until they finally have gotten yards. Can we at least take that part out of the game? Can that part come out of the game? Or when an offensive player is stopped, and we see this, they're stopped and they're drilled and hit 7 yards back. That ball doesn't get placed where they get hit back to. They bring it all the way back up to wherever.
Yeah, the furthest forward, point of progress.
Forward progress stuff. I just think if we're going to keep this push, then we gotta make the forward progress rules fair to defense too. Can we do that? There is nothing that irritates me more than you running up, Clint, and then three of your offensive linemen come up and shove you up 10 more yards.
Here's the deal. Let's think through this. If I'm a ball carrier and I hit a guy, a defender, and I'm bigger and stronger and I'm moving him back, more defenders are going to keep hitting me to stop my forward momentum.
Yeah.
So if it's vice versa, why wouldn't the offense be able to do it?
But what I'm saying is, let's say those defenders hit you and they drive you back.
Right.
They don't put the ball back where they drove you back to. They put the ball.
Oh, so you're suggesting that we eliminate forward progress, and no matter how far down the field you got, you go all the way back to where they were
taken
down.
Until they blow it dead. That's what they do on offense. On offense, they just keep letting the pile go forward until they finally decide to blow it dead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, let's blow the forward progress down. It goes opposite for defense and offense. It's such a crazy route. I'm not doing it. All right, I'm not dealing with this. The tush push thing I can deal with. I don't love it, but at least make that part of it fair. There is nothing more that drives me crazy than, hey man, we're just gonna let these cats keep going until they cross the goal line, and then we'll blow a whistle. Then we'll blow a whistle dead.